Howdy and welcome to Moose Podcast number 442, Finding a Home. Hey, you guys have a great week. I've heard some from many of you this past week. That's very cool. You guys are doing some exciting, fun photography out there, which is, well, that's what it's all about, right? And I appreciate you sharing what you're doing and the questions. This week's podcast comes from a couple for you folks. Ted, this is for you especially. You know, I appreciate you guys reaching out in the conversations. I mean, photography is all about communicating, right? And there's many forms of doing it. And I'm grateful when you reach out, guys, by email and say hello and ask questions. I feel useful when I can answer questions. So thanks ever so much. Wow. Still using the Adobe Beta Podcast AI voice. Still set on 50. It just makes the difference. It makes it easy. If you haven't tried it out, you should, because it's all you do is just start talking, as obviously I do. Now, remember that you can go to the blog post for the podcast. You can see photographs there from that I might be talking about during the episode and any other links that I mention in the podcast. At the same time, remember that you can listen to the podcast any of your favorite places. You're heading to Spotify. There's a place there not only to download the transcript that's created by Castos, but you can also leave comments and ask questions. So that's there for you as well. Resources to help you and your photography move forward. So that's Spotify at your favorite app store. Well, Nikon has got some sales still going the end of the month, March 30th. And where would you want to go and take advantage of that Nikon sale? Well, no other than Bedford's Camera, bedfords.com. My good friends there, they've got the goodies. You know, they've got my favorite new one I'm going to talk about again today, the Nikon stabilized binoculars. They have lenses and bodies and, well, they have everything. They have, you know, multiple things, not just Nikon gear. All those stores have lots of photographic gear. And the best thing is they stock those stores with really great people who have the information, the advice to help you and your photography move forward. And then once you get the gear, you know you're going to get it at the best price buying it at Bedford's. And after you check out, you mention my name, you're going to see that 5% back. So it's Bedford's. I mean, it's like, why would you want to go anywhere else? Bedfords.com. My good friends there, thank them for helping us photographers, helping Moose, and of course, sponsoring the Moose podcast. So I mentioned this little product on the website a couple days ago, the Small Rig Hawklok. And, you know, I got to tell you, been using them and using them more. Man, they are slick as snot. These are the coolest little doodabs for, I don't know how they make money at $19, but they work great. Got a couple more. Put one on the microphone, so it's just in and off the stand and a heart beat. I mean, it's just, the uses almost seem endless. So you might want to check that out. It's the coolest little doodab I have ever seen. And later, in just a few moments, I'll be heading off to Costa Rica, where I'll be for the next 9 days, heading down to just enjoy the rainforest. They have, I'm told, a crazy number of species down there that we didn't see last year. So I can't wait to do that. It is one of our photographic adventures. Just announced another one there on the website. Going to back to Florida again for spring. Had such a great one, a Wakatahatchee this year in that area. Going to go back down, center more around Orlando area. We just got some great stuff. So, you know, there's a bunch of, you know, adventures there. If you want to join us, check them out. Remember my galleries there. You can see images we have taken if it's a adventure we've done in the past. And then, of course, give the office a call. Talk to my lovely wife, Miss Sharon. She'd help and answer your questions, get you registered, have you come out for some great fun and photography. Well, book recommendation is one that I have mentioned many times, written up many times, but this is the time of year where it is almost essential. And I went to my library shelf to grab it, and I've got all the editions. There's been a number, even though the current one is second. I have four iterations on my shelf. It just keeps getting bigger and better, and it's Nest, Eggs and Nestlings of North American Birds. And it's by Paul Barrick and Colin Harrison. And it is just an amazing, amazing book. It has got more information. It has 670 species in it. I mean, that's a ton of information, along the color plates that go with it, everything it's describing. Never, be honest with you, noticed the back cover. But boy, it's got some of the who's who's, you know, praising this book. I mean, the first one, Paul Johnsgaard, who is, you know, Paul is everybody. I mean, he's the man. So Nest, Eggs and Nestlings of North American Birds. I'm going to talk about it a whole lot more here in a second, but that is the book I highly recommend you get. It's just, it's phenomenal. Finding a home. There's a lot of things that right now we could be putting under that title, but actually it is, well, it's what, March 24th. And, even though it is snowing out the window right now, supposedly the mountain passes are getting 2 feet of snow. It is spring. We have gone past March. What was it? March 20th was the first day of spring. And the birds, they don't have iPhones and calendars. They just go by the sun and what's happening. And spring means, yeah, baby birds. Now, baby birds and nesting, as you know, to find that home, that nesting is a really important part of their cycle. And they tend to do it. This is, nothing is carved in stone, because there's always going to be some exceptions. The first one would be like the Clark's Nutcracker, who nest in the dead of winter. Wackadoos they are. But most birds nest in the spring for a couple of reasons. One, where they nest, shrubs and trees, tend to start getting their green foliage in spring, the thickest and the densest, and that, of course, gives the nest some invisibility and protection from predators. Two, with that, the flowers and the leaves comes the insects and or the nectar, or both, which most birds, you know, depend on. So it's just the natural evolution that spring is when birds will nest. Photographing nesting birds, I've talked about before, and it's just an amazing, rewarding, fun time that I personally really enjoy. And, you know, there is, I'll be honest with you, there is nothing worse than come to July for me, and I have not got much time in with nesting birds. Watching that process and photographing it, man, it is just unbelievably rewarding, both emotionally and mentally, but also photographically. But to get to the point of photographing them, you've got to find the home. You got to find that nest. And now is the time to do it. Well, how would you do it? If you've never done it before, I'm going to assume you have it. I'm going to, you know, lay it out. And in this day and age, it's changed so much from when I started out. The two tools that I'm going to highly recommend that you have, let's make it three, tools that you have before you start out is, one, you have Merlin, the app Merlin on your smartphone. Two, a pair of binoculars. And I got to tell you, The new Nikon stabilizers, I got the 12 by 25s, are amazing. Now, I know binoculars are binoculars until you go out in the field and you realize you want two hands to work. So if you've got an iPhone with Merlin going and you're looking to see who's calling, and then you want to use a pair of binoculars to find that bird that's calling, you either have to put the iPhone down, have it strapped to your arm or some other way so you can use two hands for binoculars. The Nikon stabilized binoculars. The one thing I love the best is I can use them with one hand and the bird is going all over the place in the exit pupil. You can hold them steady with one hand. So that gives you two hands to operate, which right off the bat, boy, that puts you way ahead. So with these two tools, you're going to go out to your favorite location, hopefully your backyard, and you're going to start being a sleuth. You don't have to. You're not going to get a whole lot of steps in, but you're going to start listening and looking. The camera gear is not even out yet. We are just in the finding a home place. So you're going to get out your app. I'm going to use me as an example, of course. So right now, the American Robins showed up, oh boy, almost 3 weeks ago now. And the males show up first, and the males, of course, are going to be the brightly colored one. They're going to have that beautiful, beautiful orange-red chest. And they start by just taking care of themselves and seeing if where they have stopped at the moment has got a lot of food. And that's a really important part of this process. They have enough food and water. So if you want to encourage nesting in your yard, that's two things that you want to make sure you've got going. Then the American Robins were going to hang around for a while, and all of a sudden, some more will pop up. So at this point, we had the one gorgeous male, and we've had him nest on the property the last at least 2 years for sure. So more likely, the ones that are coming back this year are young from those nests. And as more come in, males and females, they kind of start sectioning off the property. They kind of make these little somewhat temporary territories. And they're looking for what? The best nesting place. So a place that's secure, safe, looking for food and for water that they believe will be constant to feed their kids. And once they find that spot, the males start broadcasting. And that's where Merlin comes in. You'll find where there's, especially early in the morning, lots of birds calling. Some of them are just moving through. Some are residents. American Robin is a springtime resident here. And you'll hear the male singing. So Merlin's going to tell you who's singing. You're going to use your bins to see who it is with your eyes. See where they are singing from, because that song post is really important. That's going to tell you where they're thinking about setting up a territory and where they're going to try to bring in a female for the birds and the bees thing. Now, when you do that, that's where you're going to pull out nest eggs and nestlings of North American birds, because you open up the page. I should have done this prior. I'm going to go to American Robin just to stay current, and you're going to look up Robin or American Robin. Let's see how it's indexed in this book. It is going to be, page 257, Robin, American. And you head in there, and it's going to start giving you some information that you can start using in finding that home. So, for example, do you know where American Robins actually would nest? As in a tree, in a shrub, on the side of the house, in a paint can? Where do they actually like to nest? So it goes off the bat, and you start reading it, and it says, nest in a tree or shrub, or in the fork, or on a branch on a ledge of a building, or occasionally a post. generally some type of ledge, never on the ground, usually 3 to 25 feet high. So there's your first piece of really important information the book's going to give you. What zone are you going to look? So 3 feet to 25 feet up, right? And a nest is 25 feet up. Not going to be one that's going to be really practical to photograph. One that's 3 foot, that'd be like, wow, you're living high in the hog. So then you're going to watch those birds and listen to those birds. I'm going to stick with the robin because that's what I have been working with personally this last week. And you keep listening and you start tuning into just their call. You'll see that it will slowly start changing. Why is it changing? Probably one of two reasons. One, there's another male trying to ease himself into that first male's territory. You'll see him chase, and you'll hear this. I'm not going to imitate their call because I'll be silly sounding. And you'll hear this call, and you know that he's chasing off another male. The other distinctive set of calls are the ones where, for lack of better terms, he's wooing the female. He sees the female, and he's trying to get her attention. When they are successful, going back to the nest eggs and nestlings, you'll find out that the nest they build, a bulky, untidy structure of twigs, coarse grass, weed, and grass stems, and sometimes strings, rags, and other debris, with a smooth inner cup of mud with a thin lining of dry grasses, built mainly, and this is important, by the female. So with that, when you locate that male and then you see the female hanging out, then you know they're kind of paired up. And then when you see the female out gathering nesting materials, twigs, grasses, and mud, you know that she's busy building the nest. So at this point, you can put Merlin away. It's done its job. And you just spend your time with the bins and you watch and you watch. You watch where... And they're going to tell you, they're going to show you, and they're going to have kind of a distinctive pattern. They're going to go into that shrub or up to that ledge. Around here, they make a lot of nests in, people have skulls on the outside of their house from their trophies, you know, moose or elk or deer. They make a lot of nests on the top of the skull using the rack as a way of supporting their nest. So you just watch it. You don't do anything photographically still. You just watch it. Because all of a sudden, the female will stop going back and forth to that nest with the material, and she'll just be on the nest. And that's when you know eggs are getting laid. Now, birds do it differently. Some species will lay all their eggs at one time. Some will lay their egg one day apart. So this... Going back to nest eggs and nestlings, you're going to learn that part. And it starts right off the bat, continuing with American robin, says breeding season, early April in south, as in south, you know, southern part of North America, to mid-May in north of the range, which is up where I'm at. They will possibly double or triple clutch, which means they'll raise a group of kids, kick them out, and maybe do it again. It tells you the kind of eggs, the shapes, the size. Then it gets down to incubation. This is the important part. So you're watching that nest. You see that female all of a sudden sedentary on that nest. And that's when incubation is starting. And for the American robin, it's done only by the female. And it's 11 or 14 days. So you're going to watch that female. When you see it on that nest and it's not moving anymore, you're going to figure out in the calendar 11 days and you're going to keep watching it. As soon as those eggs hatch, as soon as they do, all hell breaks loose and the parents are busy. Now is when you're going to get that camera out, get to clicking. So they incubate for 11 to 14 days and they're nestlings, which means they've hatched out of their eggs. They're living in the nest only for 14 to 16 days. So if you add that up, you've got 25 to 30 days of photography time at the nest. Now, the photography part, I'm not going to really get into it right this now, but the photography part, don't let it scare you. Yes, you have to be very sensitive to what you are photographing and how you're photographing it. There's a lot on the website already about how to photograph nesting birds. But I'm here to tell you, you can do it safely. You can get those photographs. Remember that no photograph is worth sacrificing the welfare of the subject. But you can have one of the most grandest experiences in wildlife photography, and it could be just around the corner in your own backyard. And the process starts now in finding a home. You folks have an absolutely marvelous week. I hope you've got spring, it's warm, you're out with your camera, and just remember to make every click your story.